Right now, we're joined by Deb Wentz this morning. You might remember Deb. Deb, we used to have you on all the time for the North Ridgeville Old Town Hall Theater, right? Doing that type of thing in the different programs. But you're here under a different, different heading this morning.
Yes, I'm here to talk about my real job.
Oh, now how long have you had this real job as an adoption social worker at Catholic Charities?
I've been there over 17 years here in the Elyria office.
All right. Not to tie the two together, but I was thinking Old Town Hall Theater, you know, musical theater. The only adoption thing I remember is from, like, Annie, you know, the musical Annie.
And it has
this sort of thought about a hopeful that somebody who's not wanted, a child who's in an orphanage, gets adopted by a, you know, a family, loving family, a rich family, something, and take them out of that life. And that's sort of a show business aspect of it from a time gone by as well. But adoptions still take place today. There are still children that are in need of adoption. This is National Adoption Awareness Month, and we're here, I guess, to talk a little bit about that. As an adoption social worker, tell me a little about what your responsibilities are in that process.
I work with families who are wanting to adopt. We conduct their home studies. Sometimes we help them locate an appropriate child. We work with birth families who may be having to consider an adoption plan for their baby that they're just unable to parent right now due to their circumstances. We also license foster parents who can either take care of babies who are awaiting adoption or foster parents who can take care of older children. And then we also have what's called a post-adoption program where we work with adult adoptees or birth parents who have placed a child for adoption years ago. We provide them non-identifying background information, and sometimes we're able to facilitate meeting between people that have been separated by adoption for years.
I assume the process is somewhat similar, but over your almost two decades, now 17 years, there's probably been a lot of changes or perception or understanding of the adoption process.
We're doing much more with open adoption now. And even before I came to Catholic Charities here, I had done adoptions at Catholic Charities in Northern Kentucky several decades ago, where adoptions were totally closed. And now we're moving more and more towards open adoptions. And what a lot of young people don't realize is if you want to make an adoption plan for your baby, you actually get to choose which family is going to adopt your baby. You interview them. You can interview several couples. You choose the couple you like. And then you can negotiate ongoing openness, ongoing visits. So we have a lot of adoptive families and birth families who have visits several times a year after the baby's placed for adoption.
Is that what you mean by open?
Yes.
And closed would be give up the baby, no contact?
No contact, yes. And gradually over the last, I would say, 21 years at least at Catholic Charities, we've been working more and more towards complete openness. It used to be that adoptive parents would send pictures and letters to Catholic Charities, which we would forward to the birth parents. If they responded, they would send it to us. We would forward it to the adoptive parents. And we've been doing that for over 21 years, I know. But now there's actual visits, ongoing visits between the birth family and the adoptive family.
Any way to measure or determine what the impact is on that child over time?
The people that have done studies of this have found that open adoption is much healthier for everybody involved in the adoption because the birth parents are more at ease. They're not having to worry about, is my child okay? Is my child still alive? How are they doing? And the adoptive parents don't have to live with that fear of, oh my God, what happens if the birth parent appears? They've already met the birth parent. They have a relationship with the birth parents or the birth family. And for the adoptee, it's not growing up with all the secrecy and all the questions. Under the closed adoption, they speak about adoptees growing up with ghost parents because you didn't know what they looked like. You didn't know who you looked like. So all you had was your fantasy. And you mentioned the musical Annie, and she has a whole song in there about, you know, what her birth parents must be like. And I think that's what adoptees used to grow up with, not knowing for sure, so you had to create your fantasy, whereas now they can have a reality in front of them.
Who was the advocate for this? Was it the adoption organizations? Was it people that had been adopted? Who is it that was sort of thinking, we need to open this up, we need to have better communication, we need to have all the parties sort of still involved and not kind of build walls between them?
From my understanding, it kind of came from all parties and from social workers that were involved in adoptions and had worked under the closed adoption system and said, you know, there's something here that's just not quite working for people. So I think it came from all parties involved.
Does that then make the process, I don't say easier, but is there more likely then that the adoptions will take place? More people are thinking this is, I can understand the process a little bit better. I'm giving a child to somebody who can maybe better take care of them, but yet I'm not cutting the ties completely. Is there?
I think for adoptive parents, it's scary at first, but I've had several adoptive parents that have done a total about face once they started reading materials about open adoption and realizing, oh, this would be best for my child. This makes sense. My child should be allowed to know his or her other siblings that the birth parent may already be parenting. And so I've had adoptive families that were totally opposed to the idea, but once they started researching it, realized, wait, this is really what's best for our child, and how could we not want to do what's best for our child? And I think for birth parents, you know, I've got a birth mom now that's in the process of making an adoption plan for her baby. And when she met her adoptive couple, she said, I feel like I've become friends with them. And it has added to her comfort because she is meeting these people. She's spending time with them, getting to know them. And it's so reassuring to her that that's where her child will be.
And that seems to me, in a sense, also the birth mother then has a little bit sort of closure, able to continue on with her life after making this tough decision of to give up her baby for adoption. It doesn't impact her in a way of, you know, whatever becomes of that, and doesn't become a burden to her. It seems as though her life can still continue on, knowing what her child that she gave up is doing and how it's progressing, too.
Yeah, I think it's not as devastating. You know, looking through old adoption records or hearing about old adoptions, I mean, birth moms were told to go home and forget this had ever happened. Whereas now, if a birth mother chooses adoption, has an ongoing open adoption, you know, other people know about her child. It's not a big secret. It's not something that she's trying unsuccessfully to forget about for the next 40 years, because of course birth parents couldn't forget about the child they'd placed for adoption. That's impossible.
Right. What about the birth, and you say parents too, obviously there's a father too that may have impact on this as well. We're talking today with Deb Wentz, adoption social worker at Catholic Charities. The National Adoption Awareness Month is going on, correct?
Deb, if somebody wants to, maybe they're thinking about adopting, where do they start, and how does Catholic Charities help?
Okay, they can call Catholic Charities. We would send them an information packet, how our adoption program works. If they're looking to foster to adopt, we would refer them to Lorain County Children's Services if they live in Lorain County or whatever county they live in. There's an organization in Cleveland that serves all of this area called Adoption Network Cleveland. They offer a class called Adoption 101 that people can come and find out about different avenues of adoption. International adoption has pretty much dwindled and diminished a lot over, say, the last 6 to 8 years. A lot of countries have closed their adoption, but there's still various agencies doing adoption. There's still the adoption of older children that are in foster care awaiting to be adopted. And actually, I have a court hearing this afternoon, a family that I did their home study, they're adopting a 5-year-old boy that they adopted through Hamilton County. And I did their home study and helped them, you know, sending out their home study to different agencies. And they found this little boy and they just fell in love with him. So we're going to court this afternoon to finalize.
What's a home study? What goes into it?
A home study is the actual study of this family, making sure that this is a good and appropriate home for a child. It involves a series of interviews with them. It involves references. It involves background checks. It involves the fire department coming out and doing a fire inspection of your home. It in, involves criminal background check. So it's all these checking into your background, finding out about you, who you are, and what you might have to offer a child, and what would be the best type of child or age of child to fit in your home.
If everything goes as well as planned, how long is the process usually?
A home study can be done in less than 6 months.
And what about the entire adoption process?
That depends, because just as birth mothers get to pick which family they want to have adopt their child, adoptive families can also tell us what their preferences are in terms of race of child, age of child, what background conditions they're willing to consider, and depending how narrow or broad you are, that's going to limit how quickly you might receive a placement.
When we were going on the air, Deb says, make sure you ask to tell me about this law change that's coming up. Tell us a little bit about that affects adopted people in Ohio.
Yes, Ohio has had a two-tiered adoption law. People adopted prior to 1964, such as myself, could contact Vital Statistics in Columbus and get their original birth certificate that lists their birth mother's name. In 1964, Ohio closed that law, so adoptees adopted after 1964 could not get their original birth certificates. This past year, through the efforts of Betsy Norris and Adoption Network Cleveland, this law has finally gotten changed. And effective March of 2015, all adult adoptees in Ohio can contact Vital Statistics in Columbus and get a copy of their original birth certificate. If a birth mother does not want her name disclosed, she needs to complete an updated medical history, which will be on file in Columbus, so that even if her adopted child cannot see her name, at least he or she can get an updated current medical history.
Which is the important part of it. That's sort of an important part. Maybe there's also another part of it too, but that's one of the reasons they probably did this too, right?
Yeah, people that contact us for non-identifying background information, some of them want to try to locate birth relatives, and others are simply interested in getting medical history. The adoptee is now 30, 40 years old, has children of their own. They're seeing health problems in their children, in their grandchildren, and they're contacting us in desperation saying, do you have any medical history in this file? Is there anything that you can tell me that would help?
Our guest today has been Deb Wentz. It's National Adoption Awareness Month. Deb is an adoption social worker at Catholic Charities. Thanks for stopping in this morning. If people want to find out more interesting in adoption, the process, what's a good place for them to start with that?
My office here in Elyria is 440-366-1106, extension 13, or my work cell is 216-319-0647, and that cell phone's with me all the time.
Wow. As a social worker, how many adoptions do you have in the process at any one time?
It just depends. It's like one of those feast or famine things. But I have been making a computer Excel sheet of our history of adoptions. Cleveland Catholic Charities has adoptions going back 100 years. I found adoptions from 1913. And out of Cleveland, we've done, as my count so far, over 5,200 adoptions. And Lorain County, since World War II, has done over 900 adoptions. So we've been at this a long time.
Thanks again for coming in. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Okay.